Welcome to Crafts and Crime. I'm Amy.
I'm Elaine. I was not ready. Sorry. She okay. just asked me, are you ready? Yep.
Yeah. So we, it's been a weird couple.
It's like it's Monday. I know, what just happened? Friday.
What is happening? There's something what? Going on with her microphone. What's this thing you called?
Like the buffer?
The but buffer thing?
Something else. I don't know. It's like the boom mic bit that.
It's like keeps the it from getting spit all in the microphone or whatever.
Yeah, humidity and it prevent.
turn it like, the other way?
I tried, but that's what made it loose.
Oh. I have another one.
Hold on. Sorry, everybody. No,
it's technical difficulties.
Yeah, there.
This should be fine don't for now. It. It's bothering the shit out of me, but.
No, it's fine.
I want to touch it so bad.
Yeah, it's like all loose. It's weird. It's always something like it's either, I don't know, like this thingy is all loose. Mine almost fell off the other day, like the whole desk thing.
Yeah. But,
yeah, so
probably everything needs to be like all our little bands, everything needs to be tightened up off of it. I think that's why.
Yeah, we're coming up on a year.
Yeah,
I know. So I think we need to do some microphone maintenance, I guess, because like the microphone holder thingy has these little rubber bands to help like suspend it in place, and they're all like they look like
stretched
hair ties.
Out. They look exactly like a hair tie when if it gets all stretched out at the glued bit together and it like starts running. It's exactly. Yeah.
So we got to do some maintenance. But this morning, my day started off with a heart attack because you text me that.
Yeah.
Esther. Esther. Yeah. I'm like, what's her name? I almost called her Marla. Esther, my chicken, was at your gate and that my gate was like wide open. So I'm like, what the heck? And so
it looked like that little U thing on the pole. Didn't nestle into the little divot. It was like resting on the lip or the top, and it probably just got pushed by the wind.
So my gate was
or
wide
a chicken.
Open. Yeah. Or her trying to get out because yesterday I tossed her over the fence into my yard because I accidentally gave her to you. I'm not recognizing my own chicken.
Yeah.
And
I was just taking care of her. I was like, she's cute. None of them are really laying right now. It's fine.
Yeah.
She got along well.
Yeah, now she's being bullied because they don't remember her.
So dumb.
I know. So, yeah, I checked the cameras, and I knew you brought her back and closed it up, but
she went back on her own. She was like, really? I'm just letting you know.
Gate's open.
I opened up the gate, and of course, it takes me a long time because I have a stupid bike combination lock thing,
and I
need to just get a chain again. And so I ended up opening, you know, fiddling with the gate, opening it up, and she was like, okay. And she like toddled all the way back home. And she was like, it was like she was showing me the gate was open.
Oh, how cute.
Yep. She walked all the way back, and then I was like, oh, okay. And then I closed it, but I followed in. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, were the dogs out? How long has this been here? So I looked, and I was like, well, it looks like the right amount of chickens are in the backyard. And then I closed it. Yeah. I got up so early today. It was weird.
I did not. I like, woke
I could
up
tell.
Like, late. And
that's okay.
Yeah, so that freaked me out. So I was like, oh, I'm going to check the cameras. And the last recording on the camera from last night was at like 9 o'clock. It was like 8:56 or something like that. It was Calvin. And Calvin is not an outside cat. And I was like, oh my God, is that Calvin? He was by the garage. And he literally looked up at the camera. Like, he knew, like, there's a camera there.
He's like, and
I'm outside. And so I freaked out.
Because that was the whole night.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I.
12 solid hours.
Yeah. Because it was like.
Did he push that window open?
I think he did in Link and Lily's room. Yeah. So I freaked out. And he has an AirTag on him. But the battery's low. I get it's so funny because I get a notification on my phone that says Calvin's battery is low.
Me too, bro.
Replace the battery on Calvin. So it was taking a while. Because it had low battery. It wasn't connecting to my phone.
Boo.
And then Avery was
like, of course,
like,
when you really need it. Mm-hmm.
And so Avery was like walking around with my phone. And she was like, it kind of picked up like for a second at Elaine's house. And so I was like, okay, well, walk across the street, because she couldn't remember how far away, and like feet, it said like 19 feet or something like that. And And so I'm walking back towards my house and I see his little face under your house, like in the little screen bit. Like,
that is so funny. And he was like, in the front?
Yes.
There's one of those ventilators.
Yeah.
Ventilators.
Underneath the bathroom.
Oh,
that area.
Okay.
Yeah, there's like two little like rectangles right there with the screen. And I just see his face and he's like,
and then
crying.
See, the thing is, that's what I feel bad for, is because Binks loves to play under the house.
Mm-hmm.
I may have said it one time before. I don't know. I know I told everyone on Facebook, but like everyone I know on Facebook, not y'all. Sorry.
Not y'all.
Binks had came out from under the house and he was covered in Black Widow egg sacs all over his face. Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, I know exactly what they look like. They're like, they're a ball with a tiny little point on mm-hmm. one side, like a teardrop ish, and they're like an off white to almost yellow. It mm-hmm. looks, you know, it's kind of grody. And so as soon as I saw it, I was like, yeah. because I expected there to be a spider with him. Like, they don't bite that easily, but obviously they still can, especially mm-hmm. if like he's stealing her eggs.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. And he's just like, hey, what's up? And they're luckily. She was not attached to him.
Yeah.
But
it could have been an old egg, like dead egg sack or something.
So I'm wondering if, because what I was saying was like, I got up early this morning and I let Binks out in the morning and I was sitting outside and I heard a cat crying.
Yeah. He was
But it sounded like a kitten. And we've mentioned this before, the way that my backyard goes to my neighbor's the other side of me, it's like a cement, brick retaining wall fence.
Mm-hmm.
So the sound, and everyone's backyard subsequently down the street from it that way has these fences like that. It's
That's
wood
so
on the backside
yeah.
and cinder blocks down. Everybody else has one separating it. And mm-hmm. the way sound echoes mm-hmm. is bananas.
Because you said it sounded like it was down the street.
Yep. It sounded like it was way down the street, like at least four houses down.
That's crazy.
But then I remembered, right when you were in the house and we mm-hmm. had just got him, was that the there's one of those vents right underneath the bench seat I was mm-hmm. sitting on. So,
yeah, so he was just,
I
like,
probably
right
heard him crying, but in the front of my house. So it sounded mm-hmm. like far away.
Yeah,
it was nuts.
The way the sound travels.
Yeah, and I was like, kitty, kitty. Mm-hmm. I was like, what's happening? So he was probably like,
fucking he's like, I'm here. Yeah.
And I'm wondering if he ran under there because he heard Binks.
Oh, maybe. Maybe he just hung out in your backyard.
I'm wondering. Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, he was under your house. We were all freaking
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Me and Avery were out there in our pajamas in the front yard walking around, and Jack was walking around in my Crocs that didn't fit him. We all panicked.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I heard him as soon as we were out there. Then we all walked through the backyard into my backyard. So
yeah.
And then we
he
called
hated
him.
Your cats.
Yeah. We called him and he came crawling out really. He had my arms out and he's like, yes. And he likes me, but not like that. And he's like, save me.
He probably likes you a lot more now.
I hope so. And so I picked him up and then he was like, so sweet.
Yeah.
And I handed him to you and he looked like one of those old dusty feather dusters.
Yes, his tail totally looked like that. It was just full of crap.
It was weird. It had a lot of like, little papery bits. There must be
an
odd insulation underneath mm-hmm. it, like a recycled kind
of
insulation is what it looked like. Not like
so
that pink, dangerous fiberglassy shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he was so scared and he was like
poor
nuzzling
baby.
Into my neck, purring like crazy. And then, yeah, we walked into your house and he's never seen your cats before. So I've never heard this cat hiss or growl or anything. And he was totally hissing and growling. And then, like, he freaked out when I went to go put the air tag back on him. He was so scared.
Yeah,
and then even here,
he's
growled a couple times.
He's just stressed
he's
out.
He's so stressed out and on edge. So, but yeah, so Calvin's back at home. And yeah, Esther's back at home.
And we're waiting to see who lays a huge, rusty, dark brown egg.
I think it's her
because
they
Esther.
Look so familiar. But
yeah,
I've had
peg,
a bunch of different ones.
I can peg down a kind of a general idea of which chicken lays what egg.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, that's new. And then I think I figured out what color Marla lays.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really funny because you kind of can. Obviously not all the time, but you'll get a general idea.
Yeah.
At least breed specific, it helps.
Yeah, my Easter egger lays blue eggs.
Mm-hmm.
That's easy. And then I still don't know which one lays the green eggs, but I think I kind of have a feeling I know who.
Who do you think it is? I can't remember.
That one that...
the one that looks like Esther?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, no.
The one that looks like Honeydew that's darker.
Let me look at my pictures. I'm like, because I now have 8 and you have 9?
Yeah, 9.
9. But no, because I had sent it to you. I think it's like a cross between, was it the Easter egger and what did you say would make green eggs? Because it was Fluffy Cheeks was the dad.
Americana.
Okay, well, yeah, it doesn't matter as if anyone can see my phone, but I'm like, I know I sent you a picture. It's this one. Yeah, the one that kind of looks like honeydew is the one that I think is the one that's laying.
Yeah.
So
it's so interesting because honeydew isn't an Easter egger, but Easter eggers look just like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the color pattern.
Yeah. So it's the Easter egger baby that hatched because, yeah, so... But yeah, we were talking about egg colors and all that.
It's earlier. Fun. I'm excited because I'm going to get colored eggs. Not, well, I don't know. My hens ended up laying way earlier than I thought they were supposed to. So
same
I could
mine.
Have eggs. Yeah, we could probably have the colored eggs on my backyard homestead
yeah.
by like August, I'm hoping.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have Olive and then Green Queen are supposed to be like a mint, like a bright, a bright minty, like greener than Tiffany blue, but like. Really cute and like sea foamy and they can get darker green or just all blue because again the olive it's like the olive egger gene they're all like mutt chickens that they bred together to make the other colors. I got like a pink egg today.
Yeah,
kind of.
That's what so I laugh because I'm like I get my chickens for the egg color and you get them for the looks, but then now you've got some for the egg color.
I mean, I totally am. Yeah. But and it's funny too because the hilarious part, I got a chicken that lays white eggs for the color because we don't have white layers.
Anyway,
but it's going to be so pretty. It's the Egyptian Fayumi.
Mm.
They're like more game birdy, so they're like leggy and they're white and they look like they have eyeliner. It's like they're they're so pretty.
I'm excited.
And I'm so excited. I'm excited to see
I'm excited because I get to enjoy the chickens
Hell
too.
Yeah. I know. My friend Christina, she really wants to have chickens and she has the area that the house that she rents she has a perfect little area if she wanted to with just a little bit of like fencing that I could totally help her do as long as her landlord was okay with it you know but yeah so she's like I need to learn I'm like well I'm getting chicks I'm getting chicks in April you can come help me
she
can learn from the very beginning
my
I'm never hatching eggs again
and so my stepbrother and his wife bought a house and it had a chicken coop in the back but they're tearing it out. My mom's like, are you sure you don't want any chickens? It would be like
I'm so sad you're tearing it.
I know. And they're like, no. And my mom was like, it would be so good for the boys because they have two boys. And
but then it's chicken mouth and you're like
screwed. Yeah. And I'm like, they could just get three and you know, but I they both work and so
it's just
know.
So little responsibility, really.
It really is easy. You they just have to, so like, much. Scoop out the coop, like, once a year. So
yeah, do the deep layer and
but
stuff.
But mine, I haven't... Well, I need to... Oh, my gosh. We're on chicken talk again.
13 minutes of chicken runaways.
Chickens and cats. Yep, you know the drill. So I go first, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just going to make sure all my stuff. I always get paranoid now that my files don't transfer over to Drive, but I figured out what keeps happening is it was just because I was like on offline.
Oh.
So it was saving offline and then it wasn't syncing up.
Yeah,
so.
I use Google Docs.
I'm all good. I do too, but it was just like it saves the to my Google Drive.
Yeah.
So
oh, okay.
It wasn't syncing yet. I don't use Apple.
Yeah. All mine are like, because I have Apple everything, and so it's all like synced no matter what. But anyways,
this usually does, but I just didn't. I was unprepared. I'm not tech savvy. I'm figuring it out. Okay.
Okay. So this is the one that I told you I was going to switch because I wasn't sure, but I'm just going to do it because I was talking to my mom this morning.
It was the
like,
one
that's
that
really
you
interesting.
Maybe didn't want to do.
Yeah. Oh, I was like, okay. Oh, maybe I'll research more. But I'm like, you know what? Like, we don't need to get into too many specifics. Kind of like when you were talking about your craft. It's like, oh, it's so techy or like whatever.
Yeah.
And
it's like you have to explain a little bit, but there are points where it's like, if everybody really wants to get down into the depths of it, then it's in our sources.
Yeah, you can read a bunch. And so that's what I'm going to have a lot of sources. I need to probably pick and choose which ones are like the best.
Because the thing is, you'll read through and then realize, like, I glanced at it, but I didn't take anything from that that was any different than anything
exactly.
else.
Exactly. And I'm like, I have a lot of sources for this. I have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Holy shit.
It's a lot of tabs. But like I said, I'm going to go through because they all talk about the same thing. And so the craft that I'm doing today is flower sacks.
Yay! That's so fun.
So flower sacks is just what it sounds like, a bag. Mm-hmm. It's been around for hundreds of years, you know, just you put your flower in it, your feed in it, your seeds in it, whatever. So in the 1800s, these sacks were made from tightly woven cotton, and they were used to package and transport, like I said, flour, sugar, seeds, your cow feed, your chicken feed, your anything.
Yeah, we didn't have plastic bags back then.
No, it was just a big sack, like a sack of potatoes. So probably sent potatoes too. But in the 1800s, these, since they were made of cotton, people would cut them into different things like dish towels, you know, tea towels and other like household items. But then in 1922, millers started transitioning from cotton sacks to paper cartons for convenience purposes. But 2 years later, in 1924, flour sacks made a comeback.
Can you imagine carrying a 50-pound box of flour, or like in a bag of flour? In the shape of a baking soda box?
Like Costco, when you get the big, giant 50-pound thing, or however much it is, 25-pound thing of flour, it's in a paper, bag.
Yeah, that's true.
But, I mean, there was just different benefits of cotton in comparison to paper. Yeah. Like cotton protected the flour and everything more than the paper would. So anyways, it made a comeback. And Asa T. Bales decided to start making flour sacks from cotton again. But this time the sacks were made with interesting patterns. And I think you know where this is going. It's to turn the flour sacks into clothing. And this would obviously increase the sales of, the food, you know, the flour, the sugar. You know, it's like, ooh, this is a pretty pattern. And, and I could turn it into a dress or a shirt. Or this would make pretty tea towels. So the era of flour sack dresses began. And that's where we kind of start going into. It's just flour sack wasn't really a whole lot on that. Like, literally,
it is what it is.
If you Google flour sack, and that's where I started, because I knew the story of the patterns, the history of the patterns. The Wikipedia page is like two paragraphs. It's like really, it's self-explanatory. A flour sack is a cotton sack.
They made cotton bags. Yeah. And you're like, this holds it well.
Yeah. So they're, these dresses were common in rural U.S. U.S.
I cannot say that word.
And Canada in the late 19th century through to the mid 20th century. And they were all made at home, usually by women, you know, using the cotton sacks from their animal feed, seeds, their flour. You know, they would make bread and use the bag to make clothes. So flour sack clothing, especially flour sack dresses, you can find a bunch of pretty flour sack dresses. That's where I got distracted because I was just looking at all the patterns and the pictures. There's so many patterns. I got so creative.
I would dress like that every day.
Yeah.
And I get chicken poop on the hem of my dress.
So these dresses and just clothing in general became popular during the Great Depression and World War II because there's not a lot of money. And so in many ways, these flower sack dresses was like, you know, a pop of color when things are like depressing, like the Great Depression and war. So flower sack dresses are still surprisingly very popular. I'm like, there's a whole community of flower sack dress people. That sounds weird. But
a cult.
All coming in their flower sack dresses, like a convention. But they were known for their bright and colorful designs, like I said. I got really distracted by all the pretty pictures. So when flower manufacturers realized this, that women were making their flower sacks into clothing, that's when they started putting the pretty patterns on it. Because before it was just a sack.
Probably doing plain embroidery or just flower dyes, whatever they could.
So now these sacks were like, you know, had designs on them, and sometimes they even had patterns for toys. I saw one flower sack that had like the pattern, the print was like a teddy bear, like a stuffed animal. Mm-hmm. So it's like you just cut along here and then you stuff it and there's your your teddy bear or whatever. So,
and it was usually you stuffed it with the leftover rags of the bag, like just shred it all up and push it in.
Yeah. So it was very so like cute. You get your food and then you especially get something in the with
depression,
it.
Like you're able to make your babies a stuffy.
Yeah. So the so ink cute. That they used for the designs was washable. So they could be repurposed, washed, you know, and the pattern's not going to go away. This was cool. It is estimated that during the Depression, the Great Depression, 3.5 million women and children were wearing clothing and using items made from flour sacks. It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, so some of the flour sacks actually had little like instructions printed on it to tell you like how to make tea towels or how to do this. And that would like, you know, be your pattern, your, you know, whatever. But, so these were like a bunch of different designs were not just the flower sack dresses. And like I said, toys and stuff, people were making everything with them because it's fabric. So,
I'm sure they likely had neutral colors too, so that you could make like pants
amends
for boys or something. Yeah,
exactly.
I love it.
So in the 1930s, so this is kind of, you know, after the Great Depression and, but anyways, housewives turned feed and flour sacks into everyday clothing, and companies saw a business opportunity, obviously, in recycling these fabric sacks into clothes with like flower designs. And one company, Gingham Girl Flour, even packaged its products and clothes that had like quality fabric and made its packaging as an advertising point to sell its flour. So it's like I think they were all competing on like who has the prettier patterns, because they're gonna, they all have the same product. You're looking at flour, kind of like now it's like just you pick it based on the packaging sometimes, you know,
who do you want to support possibly.
But this was a way for them to be like, we're gonna make the prettiest, like they're or the most diverse, and they're gonna
and
buy
I
our
bet
stuff.
They probably didn't even have to upsell it or like upmarket the price very much.
You're just like, going to buy flour and it's
for
like
better quality. It's like a 2-for-1, so they're gonna sacrifice a little money in making better quality bags because people are gonna buy it.
Exactly.
I love that. Did they actually make like gingham printed bags?
I didn't look. Probably
like little gingham dresses.
Yeah. Probably. So according to Margaret Powell, speaking at the Textile Society of America's 2012 symposium, quote, in 1927, 3 yards of dress print cotton per kale, the typical amount of fabric needed for an average size adult dress, could cost 60 cents when purchased from the Sears and Roebuck catalog. 3 yards of gingham dress goods could cost 40 cents. In comparison, 3 yards of dress quality gingham used in Gingham Girl flour sacks from the George P. Plant Milling Company could be salvaged after the use of 2 or 3 100-pound bags of flour. So overall, it was just cheaper to, you know, than to buy.
That's
the
really funny.
Fabric
it's
straight
so
from the
genius,
store.
Though.
I know.
I mean, yeah, because it's something they have to buy anyway, and now it totally is like buy one, get one free.
So you get your food and your fabric. Yeah. So, but think about this. So it's you're not just getting a bag that has print and nothing else on it. There was also a logo, you know, of the company.
Yeah.
So
they're getting free advertising in their fabric.
Yeah. But they knew that. It's kind of like, because this is typically poor people at this time during the Depression and War that were using these flour sack dresses. And so they made their logo like disappear with washing. And so they used soluble ink, and then they would have instructions on how to like wash it
out
and stuff. So it was like, you don't need to have our brand name. Like you bought it. Here's some fabric and wash our logo off. You
know? That's cool. Here I am thinking it's like, ta-da.
No, they started making it so it would just like wash off.
I love that.
So national sewing contests were organized as a way for women to show off their skills and for these manufacturers to show off their designs.
Oh,
so it was like, here's like all of our different patterns and different products. And then the women are like, here's what I turned in to, from that to this, you know? So there are still companies today that brought back the use of cotton sacks in their products. So there's a, I'll put it in the notes, but there's a lot of companies, so I'll just mention a few.
Okay.
Three Women is a brand that uses thoughtfully curated vintage textiles, including feed sacks and old tablecloths, to create original pieces. And they encourage customers to take part in the design process by choosing their own fabric from the collection that they have. Oh, so it's like fun. Upcycling stuff. Mm-hmm. Arapillac, I probably said that wrong. It's a zero waste initiative from the Philippines, and they they revive traditional Filipino practice, a traditional Filipino practice called katsa, which is originally the sackcloths where the flour and cornstarch are packed, and they offer like gender neutral, sustainable designs for warm temperatures, like in the Philippines. And they are pretty plain, not plain, but neutral. They're not like flowery and, you know, all that. Bode is a luxury menswear brand that produces one-of-a-kind clothing using antique fabrics, Victorian quilts, grain sacks, and bed linens.
Love it.
Yeah. So, and then my mom knew this one.
Fun.
Mary's Kitchen.
Oh.
At Mary's Kitchen, they, quote, pride themselves on living up to the illustrious history of the flour sack tea towel. They honor the decorative elements that made this cotton, you know, so popular among homemakers and moms. And so, yeah, it's a way of, like, like we were saying, it's dual purpose. You get your stuff and then you get your fabric. And
it really is a buy one, get one free.
And it's sustainable. You know, it's like recycling, you know, now, you know, you think of feed sacks, and in the chicken group we're in, people take the feed sacks for their chickens and turn them into like handbags and stuff, like, you know, grocery bags. And I'm like, that's so smart. So we just have that like mentality, like, oh, I could reuse this for something. And so when I just thought it was kind of
money somehow. It's really fun.
I just thought it was so cool that like it went from just here's something that we have our food in, it's fabric, I could reuse it for something else. And then, oh, it's crazy how it turned into this whole thing of printed flour sacks. And, well, I say like flour sack because it's like general, just like
a
cotton sack. So, and so I thought that was pretty interesting. And I almost didn't
really
do it.
Because
it was really short. There wasn't a whole lot of information. So I tried to toss it in. Like,
oh, that's totally fine. You know what? I think, we always say that though, but.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of information. I have 15 sources.
I have 12 pages. But my craft next week is, I feel like it's a little bit short too, but then like, again, it's just like me. We interject little things to continue our conversation. No, I think it's really, really fun. The only, I did know about the, I've seen the things with the bears and I think I saw like a little bunny once and a duckling pattern or something like that. But what came to mind for me is the vintage like 60s and 70s brand Gunny Sacks. And it's S-A-X, Gunny Sacks, G-U-N-N-E. And I think the girl, the designer who made it, I don't know her last name, but I'm pretty sure her first name is Jessica something. And they are the most glorious, like, flowy little house on the prairie, like cotton, like put on and run through wildflower meadow. But ladies were smaller back then. And I am not that size. And so, like, occasionally I'll find an extra large or an XXL, depending on the size, but like, they're expensive.
Yeah.
Well, for me, we literally just talk about saving money, but I love thrift store and secondhand and stuff, but those are like $100+ dresses, even when I can find them in my size.
Yeah. I know. I'm like looking on Etsy. I'm like, holy shit, that's expensive. Like for flower sack dresses, because you can find, you know, anything anywhere. And so, yeah, see, like, whoa, flower sack jumper. Sweetheart Sugar, $75.
Oh.
I'm like, it's kind of cute, but I'm cute. Like, I don't think I'd pay $75. The pocket.
There it is. That's the $75 worth in the pocket.
Yeah. I wish our flour and stuff was still sold in, like, you know, like cotton sacks so I could, like, make stuff with it. But yeah. No, we just, it's all in paper. It's not fun or pretty.
It's like the times we're like, that's a good box. We used to shop at Winco all the time, which is like a really, for anyone outside of, I think, just, God, I can't even believe there's one down here. I thought it was only a Pacific Northwest store, but there's a couple down here now.
Yeah, we went all the time up the hill.
Oh, I love Winco.
Yeah.
It's just like a super mega store, and they sell stuff, not bulk, but cheaper and in larger quantities, but they're not affordable anymore, though, from what I've heard. But not the point, Elaine. Pull it together. which was the fact that we can get huge amounts of stuff, and it was really cheap. And I got this amazing bag of basmati rice, and it had like the coolest pattern on it, and it had handles.
Oh,
and the
I know top what bag was a you're zipper. About. Yeah. Oh, is I know exactly what you're talking about. I sold it at Costco.
Is it? That's crazy. Yeah, because I've never had a. I haven't had a membership to Costco since.
Oh, Mom it's been and a couple Crystal years
forever.
For
I want to go again, but yeah, and I was like, that's a good bag, and it was so solid. Like, I don't remember what happened to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I think they have it at, no, not at Walmart, that same one, because I buy rice in bulk. So I buy like the big 25-pound bag of like jasmine rice, basmati rice,
and white rice. Will you make me some basmati rice?
Yes, I can make you some.
I would fuck it up. I just give up.
Are you making, do you need it tonight? I can make it tonight.
No. Oh. I wouldn't mind, but no, I don't need it tonight.
You just want me to make you some rice?
Yeah.
I can do that.
I just fuck mine up. I don't know. It's like the simplest thing, but I can't do it for whatever reason. You know what?
The trick is the Instant Pot. Really? It has a rice button.
A rice button?
What?
You said a rice button.
It has a rice button.
I don't have any more appliance counter space or cupboard space.
We keep ours on top of the fridge in the back, and then we take it out when we need
it. I'd have to put it all the way at the top of my cabinet. But you know what? I don't even think it could fit, because I tried to put my pumpkin beverage dispenser, and I had to take the lid off. The spot was too narrow.
Did you have to, like, turn it upside down? I've had to do that before.
I had to set it next to it.
Oh.
It wouldn't even fit. I think I'm going to turn it into a terrarium.
Ooh.
And I could drain off extra water, and I could just open it if I needed to.
Yeah. Okay.
No more fun stuff.
Okay. Oh, because I was going to talk about my moldy terrarium.
Oh, go ahead. It's fine.
Yeah. Jack made you one, and then me one, and it's like, what is it? It's like a vase thing that then he puts dirt and stuff in it, and then the sticks and some rocks.
Drainage and
everything. And then, I don't know what he put over the top, but then he like hot glued it. So it's like completely sealed. And both of ours got moldy, and I like amazing. It. It's so cool. Yours it has really like is. Roots or something.
Mine has like
yours
alien has, like, tentacles.
Yeah, it's so cool. That and mine was, is like, just like
I think
white.
That was the fruit of my fungus. I don't think I got like actual visible mushroomage happening. I'm pretty sure that little like rooty looking structure is the structure that makes spores, but I'm gonna give it a little bit more sunlight to let it get humid humid in there and see what happens, because
I wonder what would happen if you left it on your table outside. Oh my goodness. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
That would
I'm
be
wondering
cool.
I'm but, thinking of doing it a little bit, but they do look cool. They look very ghosty and like misty.
It's cool. Really cool. It's got a lot of moisture in there, and I have like all that white like fuzzy mold. It's so cool because it's like completely sealed. You can't get into it, and so I'm like, I kind of like it. Like, I wanna
which
see
means
what
it's making
grows.
Its own oxygen and farts, and it's recycling all of that. And
I think it's so cool.
I do
Jack's
too.
Like, oh, I'm so mad I got
He's
moldy,
really
and I'm
upset.
Like,
I was like, it's the coolest.
I like it.
I do too.
I love it.
I wish it was more moldy.
Yeah.
I want some more of it. Mold.
Mine's really moldy. It's so cool.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. Yeah, yours is getting more sun than mine. I think it still needs photosynthesis. So I'm going to put it in like the windowsill or probably outside, or the cats will knock it over and kill it.
Yeah, I was like, you should just put it
Break
on the table
it.
Outside. Okay, sorry. We totally.
It's okay.
You said terrarium. I'm like, I got a moldy
oh,
one.
Yeah.
So cool.
I know. I definitely need to move mine.
Okay. So bring us down.
Yeah. So I think this is our first France case.
Oh.
So I think so.
Yeah. I haven't gone out of the country. I think you have.
Yeah. Well, just to the UK. I don't think I've gone anywhere else. Well, I had a couple people that have ran away to like Canada? Other countries, but sort of the body brokering bit, but not really.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh, okay. So yeah, France. It's our very first French one.
Okay.
This is the case of Yvonne Chevalier.
Okay.
Yvonne was a young midwife at a hospital in Orléans in France, and she met Pierre Chevalier, who was a medical intern, becoming a doctor at the time, mm-hmm. at the very same hospital in 1935. And Pierre's family was super wealthy, and they were socialites and well-respected, and unfortunately, it mattered in society that mm-hmm. Yvonne's family was not.
Yeah.
They were peasant farmers that originally had lived outside of France, but came over when she was really young.
Mm-hmm.
And Pierre's family did not like this at all because she was a poor nothing, even mm-hmm. though she was a midwife and a nurse. Like, yeah,
she made something of herself.
Right. But it was still an issue for him and the family. It was not for him, I'm sorry, for his family, but he was in love, you mm-hmm. know. He was super highly educated and very, very smart. And she wasn't the most intelligent, but she wasn't, you know, obviously she was successful. Mm-hmm. And so, but because she hadn't done all this schooling, she was looked down upon for mm-hmm. that. So they ended up, it took them quite a while for them to get married. It took almost 4 years. In 1939, they got married. And the very next year, they ended up having a son named Matthew. But unfortunately, the familial happiness didn't last very long, because right after that, Germany invaded mm-hmm. for World War I in the very same year, so mm-hmm. in 1940. And this is where Pierre took it upon himself, as many of the men in the area did, and he joined the French resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, this kept him away from Yvonne and newborn Matthew. It was devastating for both of them, but he couldn't even contact them mm-hmm. because it could put their lives in danger from where they were at because of his position. Mm-hmm. So it was basically no contact until it was over. His education, his intelligence, his charisma ended up getting him pretty far up the ranks in the resistance to be viewed as like one of the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really successful in his efforts when the war was over. Like, he did so well with rescue missions, and he ended up getting awarded an honor that most people don't. He got the Legion of Honor medal, and he also got a War Cross, and those are the two highest you can get in France.
Okay.
After that, all of the heroic stories of him and how smart he was and how easily able he was to transition into society, he figured, like, well, I'm going to run for mayor.
Okay.
And so he ran for the mayor of Orléans in 1945, and he won because everybody loved him.
Uh-huh.
And then him and Yvonne ended up having another son after that, named Tudol. Pierre loved his political career, and mm-hmm. the people loved Pierre. Unfortunately, though, he had a job to do, and that needed his presence. Uh-huh. And so, unfortunately, that ended up taking him to Paris, which was taken by train, but it was just easier for him to stay in town more uh-huh. frequently. And he didn't really mind that, because he got to hang out and have parties and big events and celebrations, and mm-hmm. he was amazing. And who doesn't kind of love that? But unfortunately, that's not good for your family. No. You're making a name for yourself, but your family is missing you, especially after mm-hmm. war.
Yeah.
And then now that, like, because I'm sure he was probably doing political rallies for that handful of years that it took. Mm-hmm. You have to, make a name for yourself before. So,
yeah, so it's obviously just not home a lot.
Time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, unfortunately, there was word going around that during his time in the resistance and in between the time of coming home, that just that early love that brought them together had faded. And unfortunately, he didn't have very nice friends, and they would complain about how they didn't like Yvonne because she was Just like boring and stuff. And so he would tell her, you know, you're boring, you're unintelligent, you're not even capable of holding a decent conversation. And he even told her that she disgusted him.
What?
It's really sad.
That's so mean.
Yeah, really, really sad. She's basically raised two children alone.
By herself.
Yep, yeah. One through war and every day wondering if your husband is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then now he's serving other people and he just tells you that you're disgusting.
That's so wrong.
But I know. And she is completely devastated, of course, like anybody would be.
Yeah.
And she loves him so much. So she does everything she can. She starts reading every newspaper, every magazine, every book, art, science, politics, like anything she could do to make herself more interesting for him.
Hmm. I bet she was interested.
Oh, I know. That's sad. She started even like going to like the salon and getting her hair done and manicures. And she got some new pretty clothes because they did have a pretty nice life at this point now.
Yeah.
They had a very luxurious, comfortable life. They had a couple maids. Like she was living it.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much he was like, why isn't that good enough for you? I know. Who the hell? I would rather have love than some shit for me. Like, come on now. Unfortunately, and unsurprisingly, she turned to drinking and she became addicted to amphetamines and barbiturates to cope with her emotional pains and depression. And unfortunately, when you have maids to raise your kids, so at least they were safe with other people, but she was not, she was really struggling. And it was really, really sad. Pierre is really moving on up the social circle. They talk about him being like the fastest rising young politico because he's only 42.
Oh, okay.
And so he's rumored to possibly be appointed as a junior cabinet minister soon. That's what they're wanting to do. That's where he's wanting to go. But of course, this would not be good for Yvonne and the family because that would take him away even more than he already had been. And so she was getting scared. You know, it's hard to be proud and resentful, I'm sure. So that was really hard for her. And then unfortunately, again, she ended up getting an anonymous letter that told her that Pierre had a mistress.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So she's completely heartbroken, but she's determined to find who is this person. Gosh. He's so mean to her. He's probably not even hiding. And it doesn't take very long. She just goes through his pockets of his jackets that are hung up. And in the suit coat pocket, she finds a note. And it's a love letter.
Mm-hmm.
And it is signed Jeanette. And she didn't need to know who this person was. It was her neighbor, Jean Pureau. Yep, it's her neighbor. They live like right next door. And she was also married to a man named Leon Pureau. And he owned a very successful department store in Orléans. And so that kind of kept him busy too.
Yeah.
Pierre was really into Jean. She's very pretty.
Yeah.
And she's 10 years younger than him.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. And she's fashionable. She's beautiful. She's part of society.
Yeah.
All the things that Yvonne was convinced by Pierre, she absolutely wasn't.
Yeah.
You know? People liked her. She was funny. She was flirty, outgoing. And but the thing was, is that it was not a secret around town that Jean tended to have a lot of boyfriends, but her husband was too busy and never noticed. So like, that's sad for her too, but like, he's married, dude, like move on. It's sad, but like, that's not acceptable. So she has this evidence and she's like, I am not going to be made a fool in this shit right now. And so she leaves this boys with the maid. And she's gonna catch a train. She buys a train ticket and she goes off to Paris to tell Pierre like what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
When she arrived at the building that he worked at in Paris, it's called the National Assembly, she was completely denied entrance by a guard who told her that he was told she was to not be let in under any circumstances.
What the heck?
And then she's like, well, can I just like call him? Can he come down? And he said, no, I've been told to tell you he refuses to speak with you.
What?
Yeah. So there's nothing else she can do. She gets on a train. She goes back to Orléans and she waits for Pierre to come home. As soon as he gets home, she and him get into a pretty good fight.
Yeah,
she's like, what are you doing? Like, how are you doing this to me?
Yeah.
And he has the nerve to tell her it is his private business and to not worry about her it because it was a matter that did not concern her.
What the hell?
Like, bitch, what?
Exactly. It's like, yeah. It's
unbelievable. I can't even believe that.
Yeah.
So she's completely just, she can't contain herself and she tries to commit suicide.
Mm.
And it doesn't work. She's unsuccessful.
Okay.
And now he hates her even more. He finds her just to be so pathetic and just, it's ridiculous. Yeah. It's like, I get it. People didn't divorce back then, but like, ugh, it's so sad. So she, at this time, she recovers and she goes and she applies for a handgun permit. Mm-hmm. And because of the fact that the position that he holds puts them in danger, mm-hmm. her and her children, because Pierre is just, he's soaring through farther than anybody thought he would. And on August 11th, 1951, he's appointed to the cabinet. He has a job. He's a Secretary of State for Technical Training, Youth, and Sports. So basically, he's the person that controls all of like vocational training. I'm guessing when they say youth, it probably means like school stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
So it was a really important job. And he's getting what he always wanted, and unfortunately what Yvonne has always wanted is completely slipping away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, while of course none of this information said this, I'm sure the children are feeling all of this burden.
Oh, yeah.
She probably is not doing the best job, even though she's mentally falling apart.
Yeah.
And he's never home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really sad. I feel terrible for them too. Just, you know, they heard that fight. Like, come on.
Yeah.
So when, excuse me, what is called like what we would call like an indoctrination ceremony type of thing, when like politicals and presidents get those things, what he mm-hmm. has, it's called an investiture ceremonial okay. party. It's just him getting his seat and telling everybody and stuff. He's having an amazing time. Everybody is. It's this giant, big party. And
mm-hmm.
But people notice that Pierre keeps getting, like, he has to leave. You can tell he's getting called away over and over mm-hmm. and over again. And it's Yvonne, and she's calling him, and she's, like, losing her shit. She wants him to come home right away because he did not allow her to come to this party.
Mm.
So, which is also kind of weird. Like, I'm here, but I didn't let my wife isn't here to support me.
Yeah.
It's got to be odd, but whatever, you know. So mm-hmm. he just, like assholes do, he told his colleagues, oh, she's just high strung. She's hysterical. She's anxious. She is having mental health issues. And
mm-hmm.
so they're just like, oh, whatever, you know, weirdo kooky Yvonne calling again. So it wasn't really strange to them that he left immediately mm-hmm. after the party. There was no like after party or anything like that. He just went home. And when he got home, this fight began at this point.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you humiliated me on like the most important day of my life because, you know, I'm trying to have these important conversations and I keep having to leave them because
mm-hmm.
of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sad because at this point, he's screaming and screaming at her, and she's just begging him to end his affair. Like, she's begging and begging, and he outrightly refused. He's like, no, I'm happy, and, you know, you're not going to change that. So mm-hmm. she ran into the bedroom. She's like, I'm going to kill myself. She grabs her gun, and she, you know, comes out. And at this point, he just starts tearing into her. He's like, you're not going to do it. You've tried before. Like, it never, you know, you never went through with it. You can't go through with anything. You're weak. Like,
yeah.
Just terrible. He's like, he basically was like, I double dog dare you to do it.
So he's just very verbally abusive.
Yeah. You, like, the thing is, especially back in these times, when people are talking about an abusive relationship or people know about it, it's way worse.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's way worse. Uh-huh. And so, anyway. Because, like, it was so, I mean, people feel shame about it now, but back then it was like, why are you telling me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a big whatever. So yeah. He was just terrible. Well, his cruelty made her change her mind, and she shot Pierre 4 times.
Oh, I had a feeling she was going to shoot him.
Once in the chest, once in the thigh, once in his forearm, and once in his chin.
Oh, my gosh.
Unfortunately, her oldest son, Matthew, hears shots being fired, and uh-huh. he comes running out of his room, and she was just like, oh, hey, you know, everything is fine. The maid comes in, takes Matthew, puts him back mm-hmm. to bed, and she turns back to Pierre, and she shot him in the back 1 more time, just for good measure.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. She calls the police, and she says, this is a quote, would you mind coming over at once? My husband wants to speak to you. The thing is, he is still the mayor as well.
Yeah.
So the cops are like, oh, okay. You know, we'll be right there. Like this, you know, maybe was something that would happen, but it wasn't like, they're like, okay, we'll be right there.
Uh-huh.
So when they showed up, they immediately see it. You know, they see him. It's really bloody. She's got blood splatter on her, and they were completely surprised when it was her, and she immediately told them she was the one that had killed Pierre, and they arrested her. She was charged with murder, and the very next day she asked for counsel, but she specifically asked for a female defense attorney because she said only another woman could understand her situation and what she was going through. And so it took about a year for her to go to trial, and it was obviously an immediately crazy, sensational kind of a situation.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So it was a pretty shitty thing, but it's the times that it was. I mean, she did just kill her husband, and I get it. But Judge Raymond Jadon, he like basically made sure everybody knew that she was like, she grew up poor and worthless and didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And that, you know, her husband gave her this amazing, luxurious lifestyle that she never would have afforded any other way. And she should have been happy for it. So, unfortunately, that obviously it's not good for her when the judge is already talking to you like that.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone noted that Yvonne was actually really sad and remorseful, and she said that she really wanted to kill herself, but in the end, she couldn't leave her children completely orphaned.
Mm.
And I'm like, you're going to go to jail, though.
Yeah.
Like, what good is that still?
I know.
But I guess knowing your mom's not dead, I don't know. That's terrible still. She said that it wasn't murder, though, that it was a crime of passion because she was the one that wanted to die, but because he was being so mean and cruel and hateful to her, like, she just freaked out and shot him instead. And while that's like, you know, I mean, I get it, but still, is there inside your head thoughts here, Yvonne?
Yeah.
She had a lot of spectator sympathy from the courtroom, actually, which is pretty interesting. But I mean, she did, there's pictures, and she just really looks like sad.
Yeah.
Like, you see it, but like, this is a crumbled, defeated woman. You see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm not defending what she did, but it's like, I'm sure they could tell too. And I'm sure she had to talk about how awful he was. So, she got more sympathy because guess who had to come in to testify? Good old Jeanette Perreault.
Of course.
When it came down to it, she said, quoted, this is so fucked up, I have a husband who is a good companion. I intend to stay with him. Pierre Chevalier loved me and I loved him. For one, love is never punished. bitch. Her poor husband. That had to be embarrassing. So, the prosecution pushed how Pierre was capable of doing really amazing things, and it was such a freaking loss for France. And I mean, it was. It's a bummer. But they were like, oh, she was just a jealous, embittered, spoiled housewife and jealous of the chick that your husband's cheating on you with.
It's not like they were dating.
No.
And he was like dating
her. Married, have a family. Yeah, married with two kids. Serious, like, jealous and bitter. I mean, yeah. So it didn't matter in the court of opinion. They thought that she was a woman on the brink of mental collapse, and she was deeply in love with her husband, and the betrayal, like, completely just made her snap.
Mm-hmm.
And again, she probably was, you never know, she probably had postpartum depression through the children and the stress that she had, you never know. And if you don't get it treated and these things, sometimes it never goes away. Like, I'm sure there are so many factors that could have added to her mental health already. She'd had a drug problem.
Yeah.
A little bit. It's sad. It's kind of, it's pitiful. It's very sad. So after only 40 minutes of deliberation by the jury, Yvonne was found not guilty.
Oh, yay. Sorry, I'm like, sorry, I'm not trying to like,
whoa.
I know.
Did the left side just blow out?
My right side.
The left side of my sound.
When you went, whoa.
Whoa.
That was weird. No.
I don't hear anything coming out of my left ear.
That's weird. I don't either.
Hold on.
Okay, we figured it out. That was weird.
That was really crazy. Sorry. I thought I like blew out this sound by saying, whoa.
Probably. I don't know. We'll have to go back
and
listen.
Going in and out because you're
zombie.
No, it's okay. It's just at least we figured it out. It's not a problem. You guys hear it fine. It's just
we are going to have another headphone situation.
Yeah.
Like before. But yeah. No, I said
probably, we should probably end up going to somewhere like Guitar Center and actually picking up like a legit, not from Amazon, for
$8.
Yeah.
I said yay only because I'm like, I kind of feel bad.
Sad. She has like a really, she was having like a mental crisis.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, but she did kill her husband. Yeah, but
she did.
I
know.
I
know.
Bad for her, but still, it's like, just leave. But I know you can't say that.
So, Time Magazine wrote an article on November 17th, 1952. Here's the quote from the article.
Okay.
Okay. Outside the courtroom, thousands of bright-eyed housewives stood waiting in a drizzle of rain when the verdict was announced. They broke into an ear-splitting cheer. Bravo, Yvonne, bravo! The drenching rain trickled down their husbands' coat collars, and the husbands of France shivered.
Wow, that's some pretty creative writing.
Hello, right? So, this is this is crazy, too. Besides her acquittal, she actually received absolution from the Catholic Church.
Whoa.
So they forgave her for her crime. I'm telling you, she looked, it's like droopy dog sad. Like, she has huge dark circles. She's hunched. She is like, and there's just something about the energy in the photo. You're like, she done fucked up and she's crushed.
She's just defeated. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really do think she should have gotten psychiatric, like, some kind, but, like, they wouldn't have done much back then. She would have gotten, like, a lobotomy or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been terrible, too. But they did have a few mental health drugs that came out on the market really recently after that.
Mm-hmm.
But, so anyway, unfortunately, but understandably, the media attention does not stop for her, and it's very difficult for her. She's also very mentally unwell.
Yeah.
And it's too much for Yvonne to bear, so she takes her family, and probably her maids, and she moved to Guinea in Africa, and she went back to her nursing roots, and she worked at hospitals in poor areas and helped take care of the people that lived there. But there's really no, she kind of just disappeared. It seems though, from as much record as is available, that she pretty much stayed there for the rest of her life, which was passing sometime in the 1970s. So it's really weird, very interesting. And I don't condone what she did in any way, but I do
that's
feel
why
for
I was like
her.
It's a conflicted
it
yay
was, it really was like if it was nowadays I would understand, like, she wasn't doing well mentally and she had an addiction as well. She definitely nowadays should be put in a psychiatric hospital, at least for some amount of time to deal. But it really did sound like she just broke. She just snapped.
Wow.
It's really sad, you know, and that's sad.
Yeah.
That article, wow. though.
I know, right? That is sad. It's like, I don't know. You can never blame someone who's going through abuse. I think we've talked about it's this before, but hard. It's just like.
Especially years. We're not talking, you know.
6 months or something.
Yeah,
or,
they had been together since 1932.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. It was 45, so she yeah, killed him in 44. So 12 years, it's not like you said, it's not like, oh, boyfriend, girlfriend, having yeah. a heart, which is still shitty. And 100% boyfriend, girlfriends can have abusive this relationships.
Whole statement, this doesn't concern you. I'm sorry, oof. You're my husband. I think it does.
Like, private business, excuse me, bitch?
Your privates are for me.
My business.
Yeah, your privates are my business.
Ugh.
Wow.
It's very difficult. Oh, and, crazy. You know, the sad part is, the looks of people does not matter in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. But it was really, I can't imagine being in her position because she's just a homely woman.
Uh-huh.
And that Jeanette bitch was really pretty.
Yeah.
And so it's just, like, yep, the whole thing is so sad because it's like, you couldn't cheat on her with a hunchback. Yeah, so, like, she just had so many things up against her and just him being so cruel. You see in the pictures, there was zero self-esteem to this woman.
Yeah.
You know, some people are just evil and you're like, I mean, of course, it's going to be on Instagram, mm-hmm. But I'll show you real fast. And it's just
crazy
sad.
Because he chose her. His family didn't like her, but he chose her. He decided to stay with her instead of like, oh, you know what? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she could hold a conversation because they got married, you know, he
yeah.
found her interesting then.
At some point.
It's all excuses.
It really is.
But I do know that having children changes you. Like, I am so different than I was and in a lot of good ways. But yeah, I'm like not who I was when I was 18. Mm-hmm. You know? It's like, no, I don't. Sorry, I don't want to go to the club. I don't want to do that. I'm older. I've, you know, have 4 kids and like,
yep.
I don't know. So for her, it's like, you know, she's
yeah.
gone through war, raising 2 boys alone.
Completely alone.
Like, completely
alone. Even
maids
alone. Are not. That's no companionship.
I know she has a maid,
they're
but
busy.
It's, yeah. They're doing their job. So.
Okay. So here is Yvonne.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Like, she's not a chud or
no,
anything.
No, she's pretty, but
yeah,
just
but
she looks
like. She's just
like,
homely. Like, she's just a pretty, she has a nice bone structure.
Uh-huh.
Let me see. Oops. Dang it.
What's her name?
Which one?
Jeanette
Perot.
Okay. Sorry, there's a lot of silence. We're trying to find a picture.
Yeah,
it'll
sorry.
On,
I was like,
it'll
but,
be on socials. Ooh!
Yeah.
Ooh, I almost messed up the microphone again. My foot got stuck on the.
Anyway, I'll find it later. It's taking me too long. Because I didn't save the pictures right now. We don't save them until, like, we're doing it.
Yeah, the day of.
Yeah. Oh, the left side went out.
I know, because I keep doing this.
Stowie.
Stop. I was going to say I'll stop, but it came out as stowie. Yeah, yeah, we got to figure this out before we do anything else. But anyway, so. With that, stay crafty.
And not crimey. Bye.